From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then listener, happy listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo said unity and harmony the greatest assets of the Indonesian nation. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received President of Zanzibar Ali Mohammed Zain. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo calls for all levels of society to maintain the unity and integrity of the nation, speaking at the event of Dikir and Prayer for the Nation in order to commemorate the 73rd Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. He affirmed that as a great nation, Indonesia has a different challenge due to its huge diversity. He also pointed out that the various ethnicities, languages, and religions that Indonesia has should be strengthened. If all of these can be united, unity, harmony, and brotherhood are the biggest asset of the Indonesian people that deserve to be treated so that the Indonesian nation becomes an advanced nation.
Apa yang harus kita tarik dari perbedaan-perbedaan itu?
What should we draw from these differences? This will be strength and will become a potential if we are united, because the nation's greatest asset is unity, harmony, and brotherhood. Our nation's greatest asset is that. Besides, we are blessed by God with abundant natural resources. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council, Kyai Haji Ma'ruf Amin, said on the same occasion that the Indonesian people still have challenges in the future. In addition to the challenge of national unity, economic challenges also get the spotlight. Ma'ruf Amin also remarked that the global economic turmoil also hits Indonesia, and this hampers Indonesian stability. However, he perceived that the challenge is an attempt or a choice that can be solved if the Indonesian people are united. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received honorary visit of President of Revolutionary Government of Zanzibar, Ali Mohammed Zain, at Vice President's office in Jakarta on Wednesday. As reported by Antara News Agency, after 45-minute meeting, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that both of them talk about improving relations between the two sides. He also explained how to improve relations in the fields of agriculture, fisheries and infrastructure, as well as training for the younger generation. President of Zanzibar Ali Mohammed Zain said that on this occasion, this meeting discussed a number of issues that were beneficial for both sides. President Ali Mohammed Zain wants a closer relationship with Indonesia. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also said that the President of Zanzibar makes a visit to Bali on Thursday. PT Pertamina welcomes the decision of Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources that had given the management rights of Rokan Block in Riau on Tuesday. Caretaker of Managing Director of PT Pertamina, Nika Widiawati, is ready to manage the most prosperous oil and gas block in Indonesia, which has production capacity more than 210,000 barrels per day. In Merdeka Barat Forum 9, entitled Maintaining the Availability of Oil and Gas in Jakarta on Wednesday, Nika Widiawati said that the whole production results from Rokan Block would fall in Pertamina's refinery, so it would reduce the crude oil export for the need of refined fuel oil production and other crude oil processed products. She believed that the reduction of the crude oil export could save the Indonesian foreign exchange worth $4 billion every year.
Dengan adanya WKWK itu dikelola oleh Pertamina, maka 100%
by the working area which is managed by Pertamina, 100% of the production will fall in Pertamina's refinery. There is nothing to export, so it will affect the affordability. Because between the import purchase price and the price when purchasing from upstream product in domestic, they are sharply different. If we count the rogan, we count not only the economy of the working area, but also the impact on the reduction of production cost in the long term after 20 years. Then we can tell the government that there will be the saving of the foreign exchange worth $4 billion every year.
Penghematan devisa $4 billion per tahun.
Nika Widiawati added that by managing the Rokan block, Pertamina could realize the energy autonomy of the country because there will be a new supply from the block which has been operating for more than 90 years. The whole production results of 100% falls in Pertamina to fulfill the need of fuel oil in this country, which currently still depends on the import. Besides the Rokan block management, the potential of Indonesian revenue for 20 years management will reach $57 billion, or about 825 trillion rupiah. The Rokan block, which currently consists of two main oil fields, Turi and Minas, is managed by PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia, a subsidiary of the world oil and gas giant from USA, Chevron. The contract of the company will finish in 2021. Ambassador of Swiss to Indonesia Yvonne Bowman said in Jakarta on Wednesday, encouraged the accomplishment of discussion of the Comprehensive Economic Cooperation and Partnership Agreement, CECPA, between Indonesia and Switzerland. He further said that today, Switzerland is one of the European countries with the third biggest investment in Indonesia. The discussion will enhance economic cooperation between the two countries.
Namely, the negotiations on our Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or CEPA. It needs one last push to be concluded, and then the CEPA would beef up our economic ties in Indonesia even more.
Ambassador of Switzerland to Indonesia Yvonne Bowman further explained that Indonesia is an important partner country for Switzerland. Indonesia has a major role both in the region and in international world with the biggest Muslim population as well as democratic system, which is running well. Today, the two countries signed for four-year cooperation focusing on vocational education and training in Indonesia. Ambassador Yvonne Bowman has also commitment to keep boosting the Swiss tourist visit to Indonesia that increased in 2017 for 12% compared with previous year. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Ambassador to Azerbaijan Husnan Bey Fanani, along with four researchers from Scientific Culture Faculty of the University of Indonesia, Maman S. Mahayana, Bastian Zulieno, Gilman Asilmi, and Khaidir Ashari, will study the entrance of Islam to Indonesia, which possibly comes from Caucasus, especially Azerbaijan. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Ambassador Husnan said on Wednesday that the study is related to cultural similarity, which was invented in Indonesia and Azerbaijan. It showed the big possibility of influence of Caucasus in the process of the entrance of Islam to Indonesia. Meanwhile, researchers of University of Indonesia Bastian Zulieno, who had researched before, said that there is relation between Indonesia and Azerbaijan. It can be seen from the similarity of old headstones which are in the two countries, especially in Paris, North Sumatra and Aceh. Some participants of Sail Indonesia 2018 coming from many countries in the world have arrived in Kupang Beach, East Nusa Tenggara. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Head of Destination Board of Kupang Tourism Administration, Pomi Oja, said on Wednesday that there are around 10 ships which have arrived. Some of them are on the way to Kupang. Tens of participants of Sail Indonesia left Darwin, Australia on July 27th, heading for Kupang Beach. Recently, Kupang Beach has been the first getaway for participants of Sail Indonesia before going to other regions in Indonesia. Pomi Oja hoped that all participants of Sail Indonesia arrived on Thursday afternoon. He added that while they are on Kupang, the participants will visit several tourism destinations such as Alor Regency, Lembata, and other cities in Flores Island. The traveling will last in Labuan Bajo before they leave East Nusa Tenggara to visit other islands in Indonesia. Central Bureau of Statistics BPS recorded that there were 1.32 million foreign tourists in June 2018, or it rises 6.07% comparing with previous month. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of BPS Suharyanto at the press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the foreign tourist visit also increased if compared with the same period last year. The visit was dominated by using air transportation, reaching 62% or 812.8 thousand visits. He further said that Malaysian tourists are 223.192 thousand, China's are 185.116 thousand, Timor Leste 132.912 thousand, and Australia are 115.603 visits in June 2018. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia with our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesia to Struggle for the Idea of Indo-Pacific. In ASEAN Foreign Ministers Meeting AMM, which was opened on Thursday, August 2, 2018, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi will struggle for the idea of the Indo-Pacific through more detailed explanation on AMM, which would last until the next Saturday. Indonesia will also utilize meeting of ASEAN members with the dialogue partners to confirm and to carry on national concerns in various priority issues. The Indo-Pacific idea was initiated by Indonesia after looking the fight threat of the major countries in Asia-Pacific and Indian Ocean, such as the USA, China, India, Australia, and Japan, which would affect Southeast Asian countries. Indonesia wants the Indo-Pacific issue to be discussed in the East Asia Summit, which is also followed by major countries on August 4, 2018. Minister Retno will also explain the Indonesia concerned about the strengthening of cooperation in Indo-Pacific region. The issue is the strategic one for Indonesia and ASEAN region located in the middle or as axis of both regions, namely Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean. Indonesia will offer an outlook towards Indo-Pacific area, which is aimed at improving cooperation in maritime, connectivity, and sustainable development agenda. The Indonesian concept is meant to be able to give added value for the mechanism of ASEAN cooperation which has been available nowadays, specifically to strengthen the East Asia Summit. Basically, the concept of Indo-Pacific is aimed to optimize the architecture which has been established instead of forming the new architecture in ASEAN area. ASEAN is actually the right place in offering the Indo-Pacific idea with the inclusive values, cooperation, and the dialogue. In more than 50 years of its existence, ASEAN never threatened any party and doesn't have any tradition of confrontation. By the dialogue tradition, ASEAN wants to convey the major countries to accentuate the discussion in solving the different interests. ASEAN has to improve the crisis management capacity, specifically by solving faster the conflicts and the human rights. The efforts of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has to keep doing so that the Indonesia-Pacific concept is more relevant
in creating peace and regional safety, not only in Pacific area, but also in Indian region. The support of ASEAN countries is needed so that the concept could be realized and enjoyed by the whole countries in both regions. That was commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well listener, we start for an event on August 2, 1934 about Hitler. Adolf Hitler became head of German state with the title Führer. He was German Chancellor in 1933 and leader of Germany since 1934 until he died on April 30, 1945. On August 2, 1934, Hitler became dictator of Germany after President von Hindenburg passed away. Hitler united position of Chancellor and President to be Führer or leader and also made National Socialist Party, which was known with the name Nazi, as a single party in Germany. Nazi was officially dismissed after Germany was defeated in the World War II. The next event was in 1985 when Delta Airlines flight 191 crashed. Delta Airlines flight 191 was a regularly scheduled Delta Airlines domestic service from Fort Lauderdale, Florida to Los Angeles with an intermediate stop at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, DFW. On August 2, 1985, the Lockheed L-1011 three-star operating flight 191 encountered microburst while on approach to land at DFW. The aircraft struck the ground over a mile south of the runway, struck a car near the airport, and then collided with two water tanks and disintegrated. The crash killed 137 people and injured 28 others. The National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, determined that the crash resulted from the flight's crew decision to fly through a thunderstorm, a lack of procedures or training to avoid or escape microburst, and the lack of asset information on wind shear. And the last event is that in 1990, Iraq invaded Kuwait. On August 2, 1990, Iraqi soldiers invaded Kuwait. The invasion was the second Iraqi invasion after early in 1980 to attack Iran. Regime of Saddam Hussein always declared that Kuwait territory was the 19th province of Iraq. The invasion to Kuwait aimed to take over wealth of oil of Kuwait, and therefore regime of Saddam hoped to be able to become the leader of Arabic world. But the invasion got negative reaction from international world. The international world and United Nations condemned the Iraq invasion and ordered Iraq to get out from Kuwait. Thus, a number of countries led by United States sent their forces to Persia Peninsula to drive away Iraq because of the attack of the Allies on February 28, 1991, Iraq ended its invasion in Kuwait. Well, listener, that was Today in History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila. Only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll bring you a topic about Sumatran tigers are successfully bred in wild nature. To commemorate the International Tiger Day on July 29, the World Wildlife Fund of Indonesia, WWF Indonesia, in collaboration with the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, released a rare documentary video demonstrating the successful breeding of tigers in wild nature. Through a press release on Sunday, July 29, head of Tigers Alif Initiative, Michael Belzer, explained that as the main predator in food chain, tigers have significant role to maintain the ecosystem balance in attempt to sustain the lives of other species and human beings. However, currently tigers are in critical stages. Michael Belzer said that currently there are only 3,900 species of wild tigers in the world, and compared to a century ago, these tigers can only be found about 5% from their observation. Michael Belzer added, as a fact, a video showcasing fascinating evidences and proving this carnivorous breed has already been released. Tigers breed similarly like cats, on condition the tigers have protected habitat, enough prey, and they are not hunted. Michael Belzer thought that it takes double time effort to accomplish the goals of TX2. This means that assistance is from the government, businessmen, local people, and everyone who cares about tigers are required to support the tiger conservation effort. Therefore, Michael and his team truly appreciate the effort of Indonesian government to save these extraordinary species. Furthermore, Director of Sumatra and Wildlife, World Wide Fund, WWF Indonesia, Suhandri said that the video showing the breed of tigers proved the Sumatran tigers could breed well and suitable to inhabit the environment of central Sumatra. Suhandri moreover said that the successful breeding of Sumatran tigers reflects strong commitment from the Indonesian government as well as support from community partners, local government, and international communities to save tigers and their habitat. The restoration of tigers' population is a key point for mankind to live properly with the availability of natural resources. Meanwhile, head of the Natural Conservation Agency of Riau, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Suharyono, stated that the ministry set a target to increase the tiger's population up to 25% among the 25 endangered species, in accordance to the government's performance indicator mandated by the Directorate General for Natural Resources and Ecosystem Conservation. Illegal trade still remains the greatest threat for tigers to survive in wild nature. The long trade chain from the source to the final recipient. Laws must also be enacted. Crimes against wildlife and pertaining to corruption must be abolished. The World Tiger Day is commemorated annually every July 29. It was firstly initiated at St. Petersburg Tiger Summit in 2010. The purpose of commemorating the World Tiger Day is to raise the awareness of tiger conservation effort. Listener, that's the end of My Indonesia for today.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received honorary visit of President of the Revolutionary Government of Zanzibar, Ali Muhammad Sain, at Vice President Office in Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian Ambassador of Azerbaijan Husnan Pei Fanani, along with four researchers from Scientific Culture Faculty of University of Indonesia, will study the entrance of Islam to Indonesia, which possibly comes from Caucasus, especially Azerbaijan. Some participants of Sail Indonesia 2018 coming from many countries in the world have arrived in Kupang Beach, East Nusa Tenggara. Central Bureau of Statistics BPS recorded that there were 1.32 million foreign tourists in June 2018, or it rises 6.07% compared with previous month. Listener, that was News in Brief over at Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi, inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Show the world you're as bright as the sun. We deserve to be the one.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Kelom Rico from Rembang, East Java. Stay tuned. Traveling to Indonesia, it is not complete if you have not tasted the typical foods of the region. For example, if you traveling to Lasem sub-district, Rembang Regency East Java, or known as Small China, you should try a variety of delicious typical culinaries. There are soto kemiri, tuyuhan long rice cake, dempul urang, botok, ranjungan, and kelom rico. Kelom rico can be chosen to start your culinary exploration because the dish is said to be the most typical culinary of Pantura or North Coast area of Java. Kelom rico comes from the words kelo and mrico. Kelo in the local language means vegetable soup, while mrico means pepper. So kelom rico means vegetable pepper. Kelom rico is indeed typical with a pepper flavor as the main flavor of the dish. Kelom rico uses fresh fish. It commonly used marine fish such as manyung fish, sembilang, snapper, and sometimes milk fish. Rembang actually has abundant fish potential, so no wonder if the kelom rico culinary comes amid the life of Rembang local people, especially in Lasem. Listener, the sauce of kelom rico soup is yellowish red because it is mixed with chili and turmeric slices, added with slightly tamarind and lime leaves for a delicious aroma. The use of pepper also makes the scent more fragrant and taste more delicious. Spices and tamarind make kelom rico is not fishy. The spices are used, such as red onion, garlic, chili, turmeric, ginger, lime leaves, and pepper. To cook kelom rico, the fish must firstly be cut into pieces. The texture of the fish is very soft when eaten. Spicy sauce derived from chili and pepper gives a sensation of distinctive flavor. Spicy flavor mixed with delicious sea fish make kelom rico not only a favorite meal for the Rembang people, but also tourists who visit the region. Listener, kelom rico is usually enjoyed with dempul urang. Dempul urang is payek udang or cracker with shrimp savory. The shrimp is taken from people's ponds, harvested from the coast of Lasem. The culinary is usually peddled at the stalls on the roadside. The price is quite cheap, with 25,000 to 30,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kelom Rico Culinary from Rembang, East Java. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in My Language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. listener, Indonesia has 652 traditional languages. However, only 71 had been through language vitality study by Language Development and Fostering Agency. From those 71, 11 traditional languages were found extinct. Therefore, what makes a traditional language extinct?
Faktor-faktor dari kepunahan itu sendiri banyak ya, contohnya.
There are many factors such as the decreasing speakers, war, and great natural disaster. Intermarriage between tribes can also cause extinction. Most importantly, we need to avoid having negative attitude towards the languages, such as thinking that your language is not prestigious or backwards.
Kurang positif terhadap bahasanya. Misalnya menganggap bahasa daerahnya itu kurang prestise gitu. Atau kalau memakai bahasa daerah itu disebut kampungan dan sebagainya gitu.
Losing language means losing creativity and intellectual property as the treasure of the humanity. Language is not merely a bunch of words or a set of rules, but treasure of a humanity thoughts.
Bahkan UNESCO pada tahun 2008 ketika
even in 2008, when recognizing the International Mother Language Day, UNESCO stated that when a language extinct, we had just lost an invaluable heritage. Many legends, poems, and knowledge inherited by many generations are also lost. We can recognize a wealth of nation by its main heritage, its nature, and mainly the language. When a nation is rich of its diverse languages, one can know that the nation is rich of everything. Preservation of traditional language is a duty of all people of Indonesia. Indonesian people are expected to find in their hearts the willingness to preserve the traditional language as the cultural heritage and wealth of the nation. Listener, that was My Language, a program informing you the diverse traditional language in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present you some nostalgic pop songs from an Indonesian female singer, Ermi Kulit. To initiate our segment of Music Corner for today, let us listen to a song entitled Pasrah by Ermi Kulit.
Lama ku rasa sepinya hati tanpa dirimu. Lama terasa rindu yang dalam menyiksa jiwaku. Berlalu sudah, namun tiada. saja engkau lupakan. Di mana lagi, kemana lagi harus ku cari tempat untuk bertanya. Angin pun tiada, burung pun tiada, semua tiada bawa berita. Kalau begini, terus begini, aku tak tahu bagaimanakah lagi. Biarlah semua akan kupasrahkan padanya. Kau lupakan. Di mana lagi, kemana lagi harus ku cari tempat untuk bertanya. Angin pun tiada, burung pun tiada, semua tiada bawa berita. Kalau begini, terus begini, aku tak tahu bagaimanakah lagi. Biarlah semua akan kupasrahkan padanya. Ilahi, kalau begini, terus begini, aku tak tahu bagaimanakah lagi. Biarlah semua akan kupasrahkan padanya.
Ermi Kulit began her career in 1973. More than 20 albums have been produced by the singer, namely Ermi Nurjana Kulit. In the beginning of her career, Ermi Kulit released two songs entitled Pasrah and Kasih, which rose her popularity in the Indonesian music industry. The song Pasrah tells about a story about one's wholeheartedness as she has not met her lover for a long time. Although she has waited for him for a long time, her lover does not ever come, even she does not hear a single thing about him. Listener, let's listen to the next song by Ermi Kulit entitled Kasih. Enjoy the song.
Seakan kau hadir di sisi.
The song Kasih that rose her popularity among the music lovers was composed by Richard Kyoto. The song Kasih depicts a story about a woman whose lover does not accompany her anymore by her side. Even though she has lost her lover, her imagination is always occupied by him, and she always dreams about him because he is the only one she loves. On May 2017, the record label that produced Ermi Kulit's album gave her an appreciation for the achievements in Indonesian music industry. The record label collected 20 hit songs of Ermi Kulit. The 20 hit songs were re-released in digital form and played at once in national radio during her birthday on May 13, 2017. The 20 hit songs included Pasrah Kasih, Aku Masih Menunggu, Hanya Dirimu, and many others. Listener, those were some informations about Ermi Kulit. To conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs by Ermi Kulit entitled Aku Masih Menunggu and Hanya Dirimu. Enjoy the song and see you on the next edition of Music Corner. Bye!
Jangan ragu, ku masih menunggu. Biar lama, ku sabarkan diri. Bila rindu rasa hati.
yang kau ucapkan dulu. Oh, ku masih menunggu.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Thank you. rasa gelisah dalam hati ini. Kini tiada lagi yang kuharap, hanya dirimu seorang yang selalu kudamba selama ini. Sambutlah oh kekasih hari ini dengan sejuta gelora di hati. Sambutlah hati kita dalam cinta penuh damai menuju bahagia. Sambutlah oh kekasih hari ini
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, informing, connecting, dignifying.